Joining us on the phone, musician, fisherman, author, filmmaker, winemaker, TV and film song composer, and freak extraordinaire, Mr. Les Claypool. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Well, we are very excited. Primus Gogol Bordello at Charlottesville Pavilion this upcoming Sunday night. I have witnessed you on stage a number of times at festivals like Bonnaroo and etc. And by goodness, how do you keep everything... I mean, between you and Jack White, you're both like competing for musical experiences. How do you keep everything even keel so you know what's going on in any given day?
Well, the keel is very, very rarely even. Lots of balls in the air. Sometimes balls are hitting the ground. I just try to keep as many of them aloft as I possibly can.
It's amazing. It's quite staggering what the number of things you've done in your career, and we're going to get to some of the highlights in the next little while. Your techniques are, you know, so often imitated on bass, but never quite matched. And when I hear you play in your various projects, I hear like a multitude of musical influences. You very subtly use different styles of music embedded in those notes. You play like Americana, blues, and vaudeville even. Is it that musical knowledge which, to me, that's what makes you excel above all the rest? How much of listening of other genres do you do?
Well, it's not so much... You know, I've seen many players over the years, especially young players, absorbed up into one particular genre because it appeals to their social status, or you're defined by, you know, back in the old days, what you listened to and what you wore and whatnot. And I was just never one of those guys. I was kind of all over the place, and whatever I found appealing was appealing. Didn't matter how it was packaged or what it applied to.
Right. You just seem to like be grabbing so much stuff, and that's awesome. And I don't know if like a lot of people really give you as much credit for that as they should, because you know, you in one song you'll seamlessly go from genre to genre and you make it work and as your own. Is that something you strive to do, or is that just something you naturally do because all these influences you've accumulated over the years?
Well, it's not something I really set out to do. I mean, most of the stuff for me that works the best for me musically is the stuff that comes from shooting from the hip or throwing pasta at the walls, is what I like to say. I don't like to put a lot of forethought into these things, because when I do, it tends to be the material that I'm less impressed with. It comes off as being a bit contrived. I don't know. I mean, these are all reflections of just as a writer, you reflect your experiences, and whether they're your experiences or things you've experienced secondhand or whatever, and that's what defines your thumbprint as a writer or a painter or whatever creative endeavor you may be partaking in. And for me musically, it's everything from, you know, being a kid and listening to Rush to getting into music as I was older, to being into, old musicals and sitting there working on my bike in the garage while my stepdad was playing what he called the Okie Station, So all these things just sort of seep into you as a young fellow and back when your brain is like a sponge and you absorb these things.
And we are indeed on the phone live with Les Claypool of Primus fame, among many other things. All right, Les, well, let's get to one of your song choices. You got anything in mind?
How many songs am I supposed to pick?
As many as you want, dude. Really, I mean, the sky's the limit.
Gotta play Don't Fear the Reaper.
All right, Blue Oyster Cult and WNRN. is Blue Oyster Cult on WNRN, as chosen by Les Claypool. Primus and Gogol Bordello in town this Sunday at Charlottesville Pavilion. Tickets are still available for the show. We'll have some more to give away throughout the week. We're live on the phone, actually, with Les Claypool right now. As you continue to paint that audio canvas that you're always working on, what are some of the toys that you're really thrilled about to be using these days?
Well, you know, I'm one of these guys that I'm incredibly lazy when it comes to gear and keeping up on new technology and gadgets and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
You know, most of my pedal board is an accumulation of things that were collected from pawn shops and whatnot over the years. Most of these gadgets, if I have to crack a manual, I won't use them. I really like things that are very intuitive and user-friendly.
You know, there seems to be this growing trend right now as, you know, new technology continues to develop. We all become more and more digital. That musicians and audiophiles, you know, who are grabbing onto vinyl more and more, and musicians tend to be more going back to instruments and amps and stuff of yesteryear. They like that old throwback sound. Do you like that old fuzz style when you're looking for a new piece of equipment?
Well, like I said, I'm never really looking for a new piece of equipment.
You just like what you got. You got it all.
Stuff that I've accumulated over the years that you know, I may have stumbled across in some pawn shop down in Texas, because they have, you know, it's like Texas. It's like strip clubs and pawn shops. There's one on every corner. You know, not to say I don't have some newer gear, because you know, I get stuff from the Ampeg folks, and you know, I use these old API, you know, preamps and all this gobbledygook that nobody really wants to hear about. But you know, as far as pedals and whatnot, I don't know. I tend to be way behind the curve on those things. Usually, I stumble across them, or I'm playing with some musician that has this thing that I go, well, that thing's kind of cool, and I'll end up using it. But my pedal board is pretty dusty and danky and covered with crud, and, you know, there's a lot of the elements on it that they don't even make anymore. So,
my friends and I, when we talk about our, you know, our love for Les Claypool and all your endeavors, we've often kind of talked about you really personally, just in our little group, about being our generation's Frank Zappa. And the fact that, like Frank, you tend to work on the fringes of pop music. You like to dabble in jazz rock fusion. I was always curious, though, when you were growing up in California, were you listening a lot to, like, Mothers of Invention, that kind of thing?
You know, I love the praise, but I just never really listened to a lot of Zappa. You know, Larry LaLonde was always the big Zappa head, and whatever exposure to Zappa I had was through him, you know. Driving around in his car, he was either listening to Zappa or Jerry Garcia.
Yeah.
So,
you were more of a Pink Floyd guy, though.
It wasn't a road that I went down.
And yeah.
Later in life, you know, I kind of got into some Zappa, but it wasn't something I ever really got into as heavily as, say, you know, old Peter Gabriel or old Public Image or, you know, old Crimson or, you know, Larry Graham or things like that.
Okay, Les, let's take a break for a second and hear another one of your songs. What do you want to hear from this time?
Play Autobahn by Kraftwerk.
Oh, nice. On WNRN.
Fahren auf der Autobahn.
This morning we are on the phone with Les Claypool, who was band Primus and Gogo Bordello will be at Charlottesville Pavilion this Sunday night. Les, we'll do some more talking in a second, but right now I'd dress around and hear some music. You got another song choice for us?
How about, can you play any of the live stuff off ZZ Top Fandango? That would be amazing.
I can find it, yeah. It'll really piss my boss off. I love it.
All right, man. It's live ZZ Top Thunderbird on WNRN.
You ready for ZZ Top? Let's get it together. Ladies and gentlemen, fantastic ZZ Top.
That's Thunderbird by ZZ Top live on NRN. Let's do another song. Les, what do you got in mind this time?
How about Ashes to Ashes?
David Bowie on WNRN.
Nothing is killing, just the is a job, girls and synthesis. And I ain't got no money and I ain't got no hands. But I'm hoping to kick with the planet is glowing. Ashes to ash and fuck to fuck it. We know Major Tom's a junkie, strung out in heaven's high, hitting an all-time low.
By David Bowie, again chosen by our on the phone guest today, Les Claypool of Primus fame and Primus with Gogol Bordello at Charlottesville Pavilion this Sunday night. Tickets are still available for the show.
You've always been branching out into too, like, is multimedia experiences, whether it's the film Electric Apricot or all the videos that you've compiled over the years. Is that part of your creative outlet that you just can't seem to stop? That, you know, that need to go that one step further that most musicians don't and take that video part of your scoring process?
Well, I mean, for me, ever since the very beginning, you know, the visual element of all this was very important. You know, my heroes are guys like, Aaliyah Kazan and Frank Capra and, Sergio Leone, people like that. And so when it came time to be able to do videos and whatnot, I was very excited to get behind the camera and create these images. So, when we did Electric Apricot, I've written, I don't even know how many screenplays, and we've just been trying to make a film for years, and it's very difficult to raise money, and nobody wants to give a bass player money to make a film. So we made this film on our own. I think we gathered some money here and there, but we made the film for less than the legal fees it cost to do our deal with National Lampoon. we did it as sort of a calling card thing to get out there and be able to make some of these other indie films. But of course, after we made the film, the economy collapsed and nobody was financing indie films anymore. So
bastards,
sort of back to square one on that. you know, I very much enjoy being on the set and the camaraderie of working with all these different individuals and you know, making this piece of cinema.
But you've always done that. I mean, you're always creating a world, whether it's on stage or in film, in video, that you're bringing the audience into. In fact, you're relaunching the Oddity Fair this fall. We here in Charlottesville, we're very fortunate to get the Primates experience. But what can people that are going to the Oddity Fair in the fall, can they expect from the extravaganza that's going to be?
Well, I mean, you know, we've got a... You know, people always ask me, oh, what do you think of the music scene today? Oh, my God, isn't it terrible? You know, because they all expect me to throw rocks at it. And, you know, pop culture is really no different now than it ever was. There's just different ways that it's brought to us. You know, now a huge portion of the recording industry is financed by the spawn of you know, either Disney or American Idol.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Oddity Fair is the complete polar opposite of that.
Oh, wow, all right, yeah.
The Oddity Fair is, you know, in fact, we're going to do a little oddity contest where we're going to get folks to send us their, you know, whatever it is that they do that's very unique and interesting, videotapes, and we're gonna put together a panel of judges, abstract judges, and pick a few artists to come out and perform with us on the road during the Oddity Fair. So, you know, whether you're a sword swallower or you can, you know, light your testicles on fire and draw pictures with the ashes or I don't know, whatever it is. You know, we're going to be looking for those oddities. But last year when we did it, we didn't do the competition, but we had some incredible performers. We had the Yard Dogs Roadshow. We uh-huh. had the Coney Island Sideshow Performers, the Freaks, or yeah. whatever they're called, and you know, various circus performers throughout the tour, and people were fire. There was swords being swallowed. There was, you know, snakes and giant shoes and unicycles. And it was just really cool. It was just a traveling freak show.
It's like a new incarnation almost of the Jim Rose circus come to life.
Kind of, but less of the grotesque.
Yeah, he was very...
I love the Jim Rose thing. It was definitely... it would kind of gross me out. It
very much...
So nobody was lifting... concrete blocks with their
genitalia, yeah.
attached to their scrotum.
But on that issue, you know, with bringing, you know, more and more people into the fray, especially with the Oddity Fair, your fans always love to become part of whatever world you're assembling on stage at any given night. You've got to have some great memories of fans just doing the complete unexpected. What are some of your favorites?
Let me think here. Well, I always enjoy when the folks show up with various masks or head attire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every year we've been doing this, the past handful of years, we've been doing the Hatter's Ball for New Year's in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And we have a big hat competition, and some of these chapeaux are pretty spectacular. You know, I remember one year these young kids came up on stage, and they basically had this giant... It was like this kid was wearing a diorama on his head that three other kids had to help support.
Oh my God!
Like this, of like the Petaluma Adobe and all the structures around it. It was like a class project. It was unbelievable. Of course, you know, he won the microwave oven or the vacuum cleaner or whatever it was we were giving away that year.
Outstanding.
But you know, I see interesting masks. Interesting hats. I love that element of participation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's not like the Oddity Fair we're really doing anything totally different than what, you know, than what, say, is going on with Burning Man, or like where I live, there's the Handcar Regatta. There's a lot of these artists that are blending performance art with tactile art and just expressing themselves in amazing ways. And a lot of it's with machinery and whatnot, and we're just sort of bringing music and a traveling element to that.
Okay, Les, let's take a quick break and hear another one of songs you want to hear for the hour. What do you got in mind this time?
You got to play "Pigs"
by Floyd.
By Floyd.
Yeah, I actually
it's on the wing, but "Pigs" three different kinds.
Right. When
you play my version of it.
Yeah, I have your version. I have the Frog Brigade version, yeah.
All right.
Three different ones, as chosen by Les Claypool, and that was performed by Les Claypool's Flying Frog Brigade. Les Claypool will be in town on Sunday night. His band Primus with Gogol Bor Dello at Charlottesville Pavilion. Tickets are still available for the show, and Les Claypool is on the phone with us.
Well, Jay Lane, of course, just left further to rejoin you and Larry and Primus. How much arm wringing did you have to do to get Jay back?
It didn't take a lot of. he was very excited about the notion of coming back after many years through the Primus fold. I think it's something that was one of those decisions in his life that he very much regretted, because basically 1 month before we recorded and released the first Primus record, Jay Lane quit the band.
Right.
and it was because he had a major label record deal with another popular local band in San Francisco. So, I mean, he made what was at the time a logical choice.
Yeah.
You know, nobody, including us, anticipated that Primus would go on to do the things that Primus has done over the years. So I think when the opportunity, I don't even have to think, I know,
yeah,
the opportunity presented itself, he really stepped up and has worked incredibly hard. You know, a lot of that early material, he you know, wrote the drum parts for.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously there's a huge body of work that Tim Alexander, who's a spectacular player, that Jayski has had to wrestle with, and he's doing an incredible job. I mean, tonight's our first official show,
right? Yeah,
in Toronto. We did a warm up show in San Francisco at this club and played like 24 songs or something, and it went incredibly well. So we're all fired up.
Yeah, so far, well, just that warm up show in San Fran, you've been doing basically just Primus material. Is that where you're going to really, you know, stick with throughout the tour?
Well, we've been dipping into some other things, but, I mean, there's a shitload of Primus material.
Yeah, yeah, there's a ton.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that we're playing now that has not been played in a long time, over a decade, and there's some material that's never been played that we're playing. So I think that will be exciting for people.
Oh, and it's got to be exciting for you as well, the musician, you know, either going back to something you haven't done in 10-plus years or that gem that just, you know, never got a stage presence. And I just want to thank you again, Les. It really means a lot to me. You're just an icon, and I've always said, hands down, you are the best bass player on the planet. You take the instrument far beyond what it's supposed to do.
I'm the Evel Knievel of bass guitar.
Indeed you are.
Sometimes I land it, sometimes I crash into the fountain in front of Caesars, so...
Les, I can't thank you enough for the years of hard work and really just taking the time out today. I'm so looking forward to the show on Sunday.
All right, well, great chatting with you.
Thank you so much, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye.